The Tamil Tigers were a separatist group in Sri Lanka that operated for decades. A few years ago, the army of Sri Lanka finally brutally defeated the Tamil Tigers. Now, the Sri Lankan army is in the hospitality business. Without a separatist group to fight anymore, the Sri Lankan army is running whale-watching tours and converting some of their lands into resorts. Our guest, Brendan Brady, stayed in one army hotel. He's a contributor to Slate, Time Magazine, and Newsweek, and he's currently studying at Harvard's Kennedy School. Brendan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
The core competency of an army and the core competency of the hospitality business don't seem that much similar. What was it like to stay at this army hotel?
Yeah, it was in some ways bizarre for that reason, because these are people who have been trained to fight, and perhaps some of them might have been engaged in fighting not that many years ago. So they were not necessarily the smoothest operators or the best practitioners of hospitality, but I think they've only been doing it for a year or so. And it's not necessarily what they chose to do. It's what they've been sort of reassigned to do.
And what's the purpose here? Why did the Sri Lankan army get into the hospitality business?
The army is incredibly large. It's a country of just 20 million, and the total security forces are somewhere between 300,000, 400,000, possibly even more. So you have a massive army that no longer has a war to fight, and to some extent they need something to do, so this gives them something to do. They also need finances, because it's incredibly expensive to employ all these. So these businesses, hotels included, are a way for them to earn more money. And then I think maybe what's the most interesting aspect is it's a way for them to remain in Tamil areas, but have a lower profile and have a more subtle presence. So instead of being there on the streets with lots of, with machine guns and wearing protective gear, they're instead working in businesses where they're still there, they're still present, so they can still watch over the Tamil community, but be there in a way that seems less problematic.
Well, there's a presence there that is justified and perhaps less irritating to the local population if they're running hotels and whale-watching tours. But also, they're still the image of the Sri Lankan army is still under a cloud because of the way they carried out both their war against the Tamil Tigers and the way they operate up until today?
Exactly. The conflict ended quite recently in 2009, and the way that it ended is incredibly controversial because, according to rights groups and even the UN, some 40,000 people, perhaps more, people by people, I mean civilians, died in the final months of the war. And these were people who, according to investigations of what happened, were killed by government shell fire, that they lobbed or volleyed mortar fire into areas where there were maybe Tamil Tigers, but there were also many Tamil civilians. And so tons of people, tons of Tamil civilians died in the final stages of the war. So it's not just that it's a massive military that's maybe involved in something they shouldn't be because it's a non-military role. It's also a very stigmatized military.
I understand that one of the hotels that's been set up by the Sri Lankan military has been nicknamed by some the Killing Fields Resort. Why is that?
Right. That's the Lagoon's Edge Resort, and that's in the northeast of the country. And it's a place where, from the perspective of the government, people can go to sort of bask in the glow of the government's victory. It's where the Tamil Tigers made their last stand, and it's where they were finally defeated. And this was, for them, sort of a 26-year victory in the making. So they built a hotel there for people who are coming to see these sites as war tourists, in a sense, and they can also then stay at this hotel that's there. But it's also a place where, as mentioned, thousands of Tamil civilians were killed by government gunfire that may have been targeted or, at the very least, was careless or indiscriminate.
Brendan, you mentioned war tourists. Is that another class of tourism that's cropping up?
I'm not sure if it's a major theme in tourism in Sri Lanka, but for Sri Lankans from other part of the country who are not part of the ethnic minority Tamil group and who are maybe traveling to the north or northeast for the first time, and those are the areas where the war was fought, part of their interest might be to see these lands they've never seen before because they're off limits because of the war, and then also to see these places they've heard about because they were in the news. These were the famous battlegrounds where their government, their military, finally defeated what was widely classified as a terrorist movement for the rest of the country.
Must you stay in one of these army-run hotels if you go to northern Sri Lanka, or are there other guest houses and hotels there for you?
No, certainly not. There are other guest houses, other hotels, and at the moment they comprise a very small percentage of the total hotels or guest houses on offer, but they seem to be growing at a decent pace, and they're also tend to be located in, let's say, they're cherry-picking the best locations, so they're the best beaches, the best vantage points. This is land that was taken by the army in the past for security reasons, and now that they're converting some of their assets into hotels and other businesses, they have these hotels here. So they're often the most desirable places to have, let's say, a big resort.
What were the amenities at the Sri Lankan Army Hotel you stayed at, Brendan?
They emphasized, like any other hotel or any other resort that would be trying to draw people in, that, you know, they had comfortable rooms with air conditioning, and there were nice beaches, and that they served whatever cuisine you would want, and that they had a well-stocked fridge with liquor. So on the one hand, they were appealing to people who simply just wanted to take a regular kind of vacation, but they also, for example, on their website, emphasized that it's in this security zone, and perhaps for Sri Lankans from other parts of the country who are visiting and are still very wary of the north as a place that they long considered to be too dangerous to visit, it provides a sense of security, or a sense that at least they're under the protection of people they can trust.
Do the bellmen carry firearms?
No, certainly not. Just wearing a regular outfit or a regular uniform. But for example, in the place I stayed, the staff still lived in barracks, which were sort of military-style barracks that were actually located within the grounds of the resort. So from walking to the room, the bungalow where I was staying, then to the restaurant, I walked in a way past this mini military barracks that was actually where the staff was housed.
Brendan Brady, thank you so much for telling us about your trip to Sri Lanka. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
You can read more about it at Slate, where he wrote an article about staying in a Sri Lankan hotel, which is being run by the military. They don't have much to do now that they have defeated separatist groups there, and they're getting into the tourism business. Brendan Brady is a contributor to Slate, Time Magazine, and Newsweek, and he's currently studying at Harvard's Kennedy School.